You know, as the new year begins, it's appropriate to preach from the first book of the Bible. A reminder is that God was around before anything existed. Eternal hope and goodness lies behind the beginning of creation. A hopeful God created an orderly universe whose mighty power brought all things into being for a purpose that included placing us in the world. My alternate title to the sermon today, and I didn't want to change what it is in the bulletin, but it would have been called A Forthcoming Year of New Hope. Think about that, new hope. I heard several people yesterday and then also on Facebook say, they're so glad 2022's over, you know, that they're glad to start a new year. But have you ever noticed every year we start with a glass half full, and by December 31st we start thinking it's half empty? Why can't we continue to keep the mindset that the whole year is going to be a half full glass instead of half empty glass? Now, of course, I'm not saying we're going to be problem free. Excuse me. And when we do get our shins kicked a few times and a few incidents happen, it does sort of sullen our attitude at times. But on the whole, we've got God still in control. And God did place us into the world. Now, another aspect, we must remember that the Bible is not concerned about science as we understand it. The ancient Bible writers did not attempt to produce a detailed account which centuries later is evaluated by the scientific methods of our day. The universe was unshaped, undeveloped, unfinished, and chaotic. Throughout this world, we encounter people who feel as if these words characterize their lives with little or no hope. If God was able to solidify the universe and organize it, don't you think he could do the same thing with simple-minded human beings? And also for another thing, too, I have never found a conflict between religion and science. They're good siblings to one another. So there's no competition. They're good. They can be walk side by side. But consider this. God is not confined just to heaven, where he reigns over the entire universe. It is God's creative power and care that will guide us to make the best of choices. So as we look back on tough times and see what God has accomplished, perhaps there is a reason when we go through troubles which could benefit someone else later with a similar problem. There was a minister in 18th century England named William Law, and he said, if anyone can tell you the shortest, surest way to happiness, then make it a rule to thank and praise God for everything that happens to you. For it is certain that whatever calamity happens, thank and praise God for it, because you turn it into a blessing every time. Yes, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. But something unusual occurred. God was there the entire time. And God has never left us, and God has never forsaken us, and God will be there for us from the beginning to the end. What an astounding gift and discovery. You know, cleverness has never impressed God whatsoever, but a tender heart does impress God. To know that we need God, when we need God the most, he is waiting to bless us. And you know, God will place people in our lives to be there for us at certain moments when we really need them. It's like I've always said that God calls preachers to churches because at a certain time a church needs a certain style of a preacher. And so a lot of times you think back on the history of this church, there have been many ministers in this church, and every one of them have made an impact on somebody's life because they were there, because God had sent them there just for maybe that one person or maybe for two dozen. Who knows? But I'm convinced that God calls ministers to churches because for certain things, because churches need them at that moment. Probably you've never heard of her, but woman's name was Rosa Montgomery. She was the eldest of her sibling group, and Anne, her niece, said there was no one like her, and few people in her life that she loved to talk with as much. She was an incredible person and left an incredible memories upon anyone who encountered her. She was definitely a spunky lady, according to her niece. Aunt Rosa was a wonderful sister for my mother. Aunt Rosa spent hours at mother's bedside, she said, when her mother was nearing heaven. Rosa was a spiritual mentor to members of her family. She was a diligent student of the Bible, never a prude, but a person of love, acceptance, humor, wisdom, and grace, all rolled into one. Rosa grew up in a town called Qingchangpu in China. Say that five times fast. In Qingchangpu. And she was the eldest daughter of Southern Presbyterian medical missionaries. Her niece Anne said that her aunt's influence upon her mother was profound. An interesting and humorous story took place when both she and her sister were in North Korea, what is now North Korea, at a missionary high school there. Aunt Rosa said that one night her sister was praying, and her sister wanted to be a missionary so badly to Tibet. So her sister prayed, "Lord, if I can't be a missionary by the end of the year, make me a martyr." And all of a sudden, Aunt Rosa jumped on and said, "Oh, Lord, don't listen to her. She's just a young girl. She doesn't know what she's talking about." Aunt Rosa said years later, jokingly, that her prayers were stronger than her sister's. Aunt Rosa was responsible for bringing Anne's mom and dad together at Wheaton College. For you see, Aunt Rosa Bell convinced Ruth Bell to marry a young preacher from North Carolina named Billy Graham. The niece is Ann Graham Lotz, the daughter of Ruth and Billy Graham. Incidentally, at Ruth Graham's funeral in Charlotte, North Carolina, 15 years ago, Aunt Rosa said that she and Ruth were both made in China. And so, very humorous person, but somebody that was needed in that family. And I'm sure each of you could think of somebody in your life that they're there. God sends them in your life at a particular time. Some may be already gone to heaven, but God always sends new people into our lives. We don't know who they could be, but God does that for us. God is always ready to do things for us. And so we have to remember that to create something extraordinary in our lives. If we are willing to allow God to work within us, this is exactly what God does. On the first biblical day, God brought light to the earth, and that is the first thing he does for us, is to begin performing blessings in our lives. Jesus Christ said, "I am the light of the world." So when we turn to God, we find the light of Jesus Christ. We discover a blessing of hope, promise, and future. It is then to our amazement that God had been there all along. Now, as we trust God, God is going to do great things in our lives, whether we are aware of it or not. So start taking notes and see what amazing things God is doing in your life. God can make the impossible possible. Yes, there will be uncertain moments, even some confusion, when we see which road to take, when we can't see which road to take. But when we trust God, his light comes flooding through. This isn't superstition. This is faith. It's applying it toward God and allowing God to take hold of our uncontrollable lives at times. God does turn darkness into light. Confusion could be fear, but it could also be stubbornness in giving up what we want in favor of what God desires. Have you ever wanted something so much you could taste it like a ribeye steak? Have you ever felt like, this is what I want, I need it? And sometimes you pray about it and sometimes you don't. But guess what? God comes through. Now, sometimes it's not what you originally asked for, but it's a lot better. But we still think, before we receive whatever blessing it is, that we know better than God. And we have to remember that we're going to have to admit that our stubbornness can be our downfall if we're not careful. So when you're wanting some of you may want something right now. I think it all happens to every one of us. Just let go some. Pull back. Because when you do that, you're going to see some marvelous things happen. But you just have to learn to let that stubbornness decrease in your life so God can work miracles in your life. That is talking about, again, about faith and allowing faith to take over. But we call ourselves people of faith, but a lot of times, boy, we sure fall short of the mark, don't we? We may get a C- most of the time, but God will make sure we get an A+ if we just turn the matter over to Him. Life is not an accumulation of things nor measured in days or years. It is a full and abundant life aided by love related to our commitment to God. God can take all the broken pieces and dreams to recreate them into something magnificent. Have you ever broken something? It might have not been worth much of anything. It might have been a piece of maybe Mailmac, dime store china, whatever it might be, but there was a sentimental value in it, and you try to glue the pieces back together. Or it might have been an expensive piece of Wedgwood china. But trying to glue it back together can be very frustrating because you just don't get it just correct. I know about 3 years ago when I was living out in Alturas, I always keep my platters, or at least at that time I did, on top of the refrigerator. And here a big old platter came. I was reaching for something, and this platter, which had been my mother and dad's, it had been in their set of china. It wasn't an expensive set of china, but I liked it. And it came flying down on the floor and hit my foot. No, it didn't hurt me, but it broke it in two. And do you know I tried every way to glue that back, and I could not get that thing working. But I kept a piece of it, so I get on eBay every now and then to see if I can find a replacement. I know it won't be the original, but I'm going to find it one of these days. And some of you may know about this. It's been about a year ago after I moved to the manse. But I've been thinking about this since 2018 when I moved down here. I just felt like I didn't get everything the movers brought down here. And I said, somebody had their fingers in my boxes. Well, I ate those words, believe it or not. Last November, before Thanksgiving, I had found a box and it said cobalt blue. And I thought, well, the only cobalt blue I know are some iced tea glasses a former secretary, Gollitz, gave to me when I was in Miami. So I got those out. Well, I had been just moaning and groaning and grieving over something I couldn't find. It was a family heirloom. And I thought for sure it was gone. No way. And I looked down the bottom of the box. There was a dish towel. It was wrapped around. So I pulled it out. It was my mother's old Shirley Temple milk glass. You should have seen me dancing down the hallway in the manse. I mean, you'd have thought I'd have found $1 million. Now, that glass probably is not worth probably more than $15 or $20. It might be worth a little bit more. But to me, it was something special. And I really think God gave me a blessing to find that. Now, call me again superstitious, but I think God does things like that for us. So, as we go through life, a lot of times we're going to experience things that seem to be permanently broken, but God can always put it back together again, whether it's a piece of china or whatever it is, or even relationships. God can do some of the most miraculous things. So don't ever underestimate God. And speaking of broken pieces of dreams, some of you may remember this man. His name was Chuck Colson. He lost influence and power and prestige and went to prison because of wrongdoing during the Watergate scandal of President Nixon's administration. Chuck Colson was one of the most powerful people in the United States in the early 70s. There was nobody could get past him to get to the president unless they had permission to do so. And you know, Chuck Colson's life was completely wrecked. He still had his wife, yes, but everybody else had abandoned him. Nobody wanted to be near him. He stank as far as his reputation goes. They stayed and pushed him away. And guess what happened? He was in prison, and he went to a chapel service. And during that incarceration, that's where he received Jesus Christ, his Lord and Savior. The man never was the same again. He was released, and he began his notable prison ministry, a ruined life with a new beginning. So as I said, never sell God short because he can salvage anything. Colson died several years ago, yet his ministry continues. So do you have that courage to accept what God can do in your life right now? You know, I've got a friend in prison down in Moorhaven. And guess what? They used Chuck Colson's prison ministry material. So Chuck Colson still lives. But to think the man who was so important in politics and world affairs lost it all. But Christ gave him back something even better. So never forget that. If you feel like that you've been shortchanged, you just think about a person like Chuck Colson and what he gained and all that. Because if it can happen to Chuck Colson to gain something, it can happen to us. So let us pray that 2023 will be the best year ever. Because, you know, in the book of Romans it says, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's the important thing. And that's the important thing that we have to remember. God is with us always. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, let us never doubt you, but we dedicate this year to you. And we pray, God, when things don't go the way we want them to, that our faith will be strengthened, know that you're going to work them out for us. If we have a relationship go sour, help us, oh Lord, to restore that. It may not be what we want, but we know you know best. Help and guide and lead us always. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.